And at this time, we can call to order the Hemingway Point Community Development Meeting. Today is Wednesday, March 24th, and it is after 2 o'clock time. From the board, we have Russ, Cheryl, and Roy present, and Carlos on the phone. Welcome, everybody. We've got Ben and Scott here as well. Minutes from January 27th meeting are circulated. If those are okay, a motion to approve.
I'll approve the minutes.
From Cheryl.
Carlos, second.
Thank you, Carlos. All in favor?
Aye.
Great.
Aye.
We have two items, 3 and 4, are items related to a statutory change in the state of Florida that created a requirement for districts and their vendors to participate in the E-Verify system. Basically, it's a vetting software that basically makes them register and documents whether they're compliant with a variety of state and federal laws. We're required to do it, so the district already approved the memorandum, and item 3 is to ratify the actions of district manager signing that document.
Was that you?
Yeah, I signed it.
Okay.
It was due January 1.
You signed it?
Yeah. You don't get a choice.
We can trust you, right?
I did sign it. So is there a motion to ratify the MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with the E-Verify system?
Yes.
Make the motion.
From Russ, is there a second?
Second.
From Roy, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. And item 4, similar to that, and if you have any legal questions or really want to hear about it, Scott's an expert. We also have a blank one for the chair to sign, should that be required, and should any vendor come out or anything come out that we need to verify that the chairman, the forms are signed by the chairman, but we don't know who would put on the form. Like, so we hire a new electrician or something like that, we have to sign the agreement with them. So you're pre-authorizing basically any new vendor or record. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So that's procedural. Item 5 is one of the main reasons we went ahead with today's meeting, because your annual audit has to be approved, accepted by the board in order to meet the state guidelines. The audit itself is actually, in a good way, not very interesting. It basically identifies all the statutory requirements that have to be tested by the auditor. The auditor reports back the results of that, in essence. If they have findings, we would address those findings today. There are no findings. The audit basically identified that management's practices meet all the requirements of the state law, and that your accounting procedures were acceptable or above acceptable by state standards. Your job is not to interpret the audit necessarily beyond that. It is to accept it as a record of the district by motion. And if you have any questions, I can talk about it.
Where's it in over here?
It's in your book. It would be after section...
It's section 5.
5, thank you. Yeah, it usually corresponds with the number on the agenda.
Yeah, it's the same as last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and ideally, districts should not have anything happen in their audit. A big chunk of what they're doing is verifying that we're compliant with everything in the trust indenture, which is the governing document for your debt. That's been in place for quite a few years, almost 10 years now. So that would have been found if there was any problems. One of the things they do find, if state law changes, they will identify that we're not or doing it like this MOU. Or if we hadn't done those things, it might show up as an audit report. The other thing that they look at, and we've already addressed it, is if you have consecutive years where you basically spend all of your money, they will recommend that you increase your assessments because you're not building a reserve. You are really, we've already talked about that we've been using our reserves basically to do projects. And so we're proposing next month the budget, which the board has already asked that I bring back a $150 increase to the assessment. You can lower that. I already went through all that. And we'll talk about it later. But the auditors in many districts will identify that type of a pattern. And you're in that vicinity. You didn't hit the requirement for it to be mentioned in this audit, but you're pretty close to it. With that, if there's no questions, a motion to accept the audit is appreciated.
I'll make a motion.
Carlos, your motion.
Thank you. We'll put you down as a second, Carlos. All those in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, we're going to have to change some of your names because we have two people that their initials start with an R and two people that start with a C. It's really difficult. All right? Just want you to know, I'm suffering over here. I have to write two letters down. just an unusual district. No, I try to make quick notes. It's not so easy.
We are not accruing any reserves at all right now?
Not a lot. Yeah. I mean, if you have, we've put it back in front of, the last two or three years, we've put it back in front of you because you had deferred, maintenance that you wanted to jump ahead of.
Yeah.
You know, we have that list. We bought the furniture. We went off that list and we'll update you with this budget cycle with a few other projects that, not really projects, I should say. Maintenance items you want to start looking at. A lot of it was the cloud of the developer wrap-up and departure.
So the extra assessment, that will be an accrued surplus for us every year.
It'll do two things. It'll fix that, the missing surplus that you should have.
Yeah.
But it'll also give you things you know you're going to spend every year. And the things that have evolved that we've used reserves for are a more robust pressure cleaning project and the tree trimming. Remember, that was a big expense that was never really budgeted for. And there are things you're going to want and the community is going to want. And you've heard me say this 100 times that whoever's doing it, as long as somebody's got it in their budget. In the district, once our budget's set, it's really not, it shouldn't move around very much.
Well, 150 a house should yield us about $48,000.
Exactly.
So right around that should be a forwarding number forever.
Exactly. So
there's
I would say you would
spend in 50 grand a year.
Right. About half of that
right.
would be for projects. The other half should be accumulating a reserve.
Good.
So it's needed.
Definitely.
So the 150 is annual?
Yeah, that would be that's the assessment level that you kind of gave me the nod on at the last meeting.
Yes.
And I thought it was sufficient.
No, that's a good
number. All
we got
to do is eliminate the HOA. We'll be
good. I'm sure they would have something to say about that. But I think, just to keep things in perspective, that's reasonable and not
Absolutely.
Unexpected.
Absolutely.
And I just want you to remember that we will pick next month, we will pick a hearing date to adopt that increase. We will mail a letter to all your residents telling them we're going to increase their assessment. I can tell why in the letter, but they never read it. We'll get, say, 50 phone calls, maybe 10 or 15 emails, and we'll get about, I'm going to guess, maybe about 15 or 20 people who want to come to that meeting.
Right.
And it's still up to your vote.
Yeah.
So take that as you...
$13 a month.
Right.
They don't go to Starbucks a couple times.
Right.
We'll definitely get a lot on Facebook.
Well, that's where, that's where you want to, you don't want to let it get poisonous.
We can't answer. We don't want to answer them. We can just say their complaints.
Here's the budget. Here's what we're looking at.
Right.
Yeah, Facebook is and social media's interference with businesses or
Absolutely.
Its participation in business is sometimes ill-founded. All right. Any other questions? We can go to staff reports. Mr. Scott, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Good to be back in person. See everybody. There's nothing I have specific to report right now. Kind of covered it on the e-verify stuff. So obviously we just look at the budget next time. But yeah, nothing specific to report.
Very good. I had no other items for there. Under district manager, I sort of covered what we're going to do at our next meeting is I'll have the proposed budget. I already mentioned what types of line items I'll use that money with. And as we just described, you'll have a reserve that will carry. One of the big things I'll put in there is a note about hurricane recovery.
Absolutely.
And how difficult the reimbursement process was. And anything you do is very, very difficult to get reimbursed for anymore.
Right.
It used to be kind of automatic. And then about 10 years after Hurricane
Wilma,
the audits came out.
Like 10 years.
Yeah, no, 10 years after Wilma and that whole series, we had several districts that had received funds, gone through an entire process, and then the audit came in and they changed their mind, basically. They reinterpreted the original guidelines and said they wanted the money back. And so that's the kind of thing that districts just are not built to react to. This community had close to $250,000 worth of damage, and had, you know, has maybe 70% of it is probably going to be reimbursed. But that it's taken.
We're still
appealing. So we have that many budget cycles with that money out of our budget because we've had to.
So I understand.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So we're saying 150 hours, right?
Yeah.
So Russ, you said it was about 48,000. Mm-hmm. How much, besides projects, how much do you think will go forward each year?
I would say I wouldn't budget more than half of that new money on a recurring expense, meaning a line item where you plan for it. Okay. The other half, I would say about a little over 25,000-30,000 should grow every year. You should have one full year assessment in your books at all times. That's a good, you know, thing to point to feel like you're doing a good job at building reserves. Now, if you had a lot of infrastructure, which you have a pool, you have fencing, you have landscaping, you want to work at being able to pick all that up, throw it in the garbage, and replant it. That would be how I would define a hurricane fund. Now, could you get somebody to do it for you and be reimbursed, like a county? You can imagine what I'm thinking. you're not going to be first on their list. They're going to do main roads, and you're not going to want your roads and your parks and or your linear spaces sitting there unkept.
So how many years it'll take us to be comfortable?
Well, again, with no new expenses hitting us, you should be within 2 years. I think that would generate enough money.
I want to spend each year. So
yeah, what I'm saying, don't spend. In about 2 years, you'd have that 50 or 60,000. So that's about enough for you guys to do a pick up, and then right. The next year you'd have that $30,000 or $40,000 to do the replanting, and you know, even here. So this is a good example where you're sitting. The hurricane was in 2017. We're in basically year two and a half of the replanting schedule. So we've used the same exact concept. We've taken our savings. We increased $100 per property, and there's 2,200 units here. So that was a lot bigger expense to replenish the reserves and to start to replant. We did not, you know, and we got reimbursed, and it still took that big of a chunk. So it's reality. That's something you can look at all your neighbors in the face and say, hey, you're going to be asking me where's the help in a hurricane. Here's just how we do it.
Yeah, he mentioned mainly the cleanup, but then the restoration is another.
Yeah, because you look at these fences here. Nobody wants to look at the road. They didn't buy a house with a road out their back window. They bought a house with a hedge. Well, we had to replace it, and it has to grow, and you know, it's reality.
Plus, before you sat down, we had several one-time expenses that were not going to ever occur again.
Yeah, and that happened. But there's always a couple of those every year. Like a house, like anyone who owns a house, wow, it's every year I get this one $2,000 expense I don't budget for. Well, guess what? You have to budget $2,000 for the, I don't know what this is going to be for. Right. I don't like to use the word emergency. When you know it's going to happen, it's really not an emergency. You just don't know what its name is. So yes, ma'am.
Are you sending out the letters before the next meeting?
No. So what will happen next meeting, you'll look at the budget, you'll approve the choices, or amend the choices that I make on how that money is allocated. If you approve the budget, I will send out a letter within 30 days of the hearing date, and then whenever we pick that hearing date. So look at your calendars and see when you want to do that. Middle August is kind of a good time for that type of a hearing, with travel schedules and things like that. Maybe even early September isn't too bad. We have to. There's a couple of dates we're not allowed to use as courtesy to other governments, so we're not having the same meeting at the same time. It'll be a hybrid meeting, no matter what. We'll have a Zoom capability for people to participate.
Please,
of course.
So the assessment will start January what?
It starts October 1.
October 1. Okay.
Yeah, we have a different fiscal year.
Yeah.
It's minus.
Okay. Good question. All right. Anything else out in the field? Ben, do you have anything to report?
Just did added pool repairs. So the health inspection went through. Overall, it was good. One or two code changes that we have to comply with. So you guys are good. We made some progress here. One of your pumps had a little minor issue that they sealed up. Just give it a few more years. Outside of that, I am, just so you know, aware of the lights at the entrance that are not lighting on the columns. I have been in constant communication with Wendy Lopez, I believe her name is, the property manager from your HOA.
Yeah, she's on the call.
Her first name is Wendy.
Okay.
Yeah, she's here.
Yes. And so we're working on getting in touch with a homeowner. They have a transformer or electrical panel that the developer put on the inside of the wall, right along the entrance, the corner unit on the entrance side. And so we're just waiting because you have these built-in light fixtures as opposed to incandescent bulbs, which we're going to swap out to make it easier for maintenance for you guys down the road. And
wait a minute, we just replaced all those fixtures.
Okay, so running back, I know you guys did some work around the mailboxes and around the pool.
No, we replaced all the fixtures on the front wall.
Okay, well, on the front wall, there's some of those still have built-in LED as opposed to an incandescent bulb. They're not turning on. I have an electrician that was out there to go do some work, but in order to get access and to be able to play with these lights during the daytime, he needs access to that electrical panel, which is behind the corner unit on the entrance side.
Do you know whose house that is?
I could use your help. I reached out to Tony. I reached out to Wendy. It's been a few weeks. I'm just waiting on an answer.
Which side? East or west?
Entrance side, so I believe that's the west.
The west side?
Entrance
side. We don't know that guy.
Entrance corner. Hold on. I'm trying to get my bearings over there, but yes, it's on the entrance, the corner house.
Okay, we replaced those fixtures, and those fixtures were replaced specifically with LEDs.
Well, I don't
know. Yeah, we upgraded them. We may have to ask that electrician.
I will find out for you, but my goal is whenever you guys have a light fixture, I'm just telling you from a property management standpoint.
Understood.
Incandescent is the way to go, because then I can tell your janitor who's doing the pool, I already bought him a box of bulbs. Go out there and just change the bulb, and then you guys don't have to worry about maintenance,
well,
or we're not going to be in a holding pattern for an electrician.
Everything that happens with that wall needs to be billed to that house.
Okay. Let me figure out what the problem is.
We are going to pay for any of that.
Yeah.
He did that stuff all without our permission and without the HOA's permission.
Okay.
Every single light on that fence, on that wall, is out.
Yeah.
Both sides.
It's new.
So I will get to the bottom of it. As soon as we're allowed access to that private property to be able to look at the electrical, I can give you a better idea what the issue is. But we want to fix it as quickly as possible.
Okay, you know what? On the way home, I'll knock on the guy's door. Let me have your business card.
Okay, I will, and my electrician already did that and left his business card and still haven't heard back.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm a forceful kind of guy.
Well, we don't want you to get any altercations or anything like that, but yeah, I'll give you my information.
Okay.
That's all I have.
All right.
Where are we at with getting anything done about the streets and the curbs, and specifically?
Yeah, I haven't had any new information.
Specifically Jamie Gonzalez's house.
Yeah, it's all with the county. We know that. It's been reported to the county that they approved it without it being actually repaired, and it's between him and the county.
Him and who? And him
The property owner, the adjacent property owner, and the county. County Roads, Traffic, or Public Works Department. It's not our jurisdiction. Otherwise, we would have fixed it ourselves, obviously, but we don't own it.
But it just seems wrong to me that there's no pressure that we can apply somewhere to make this happen. I mean, those kids are out playing on the street. They're falling down because of holes in the street.
Yeah, I mean, the path to pressure would be through your local elected official, your county commissioners. In particular, and we've tried a little of that, but we can, you know, I can't remember exactly which commissioner you have. There's a Moss, I think.
Somebody brand new, right?
Just got reelected.
If it's Moss,
it's either Moss or Fadias. I know he's south also, but I don't know your district so well. What are your district 9?
I'm sorry.
Okay,
we can look it up. But yeah, the point is,
maybe
if you want to make the county do something, you have to go through the best
maybe
pressure.
The homeowner herself, she may have to draw up a petition and walk around the neighborhood and knock on doors, and people sign it with their name and address, and then send it off or bring it to whoever, and maybe things will get done. She's not going to be able to just call and they're going to come tomorrow. It's not going to happen, because she's going to call and they're going to say, ma'am, you're at the bottom of the list.
This is over 2 years now.
She's at the bottom of the list, okay? So she needs to get out, get a petition going, go door to door, get the whole neighborhood to sign, and I know it takes time, but arguably,
I mean, petitions don't have any weight to them, but they have the weight of numbers, like an HOA association being on the letterhead. We, you know, the district can certainly say, you know, we acknowledge this repair wasn't done and still, you know, we can participate at that level, but that's the process. It has to go through a political process. If the county, I mean, the county was the one who signed off on it. The head of public works, you know, Paul Blackburn, is the one who said this, it was fine when I looked at it and signed the paperwork. So he's not going to help us, you know, clearly. If he's, I think he retired anyway this summer.
Hey, Paul, did you guys see Wendy's note? She said them chant in the chat.
No, what'd she say?
She said, yes, the number on file is not correct. I've tried to get hold of the owner.
What does that mean? Yeah, I see it now. Oh, you mean the property file?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, I understand. So she's been trying to help.
She said yes. She responded yes, too.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So back to your story, yeah, it's absolutely the only way to really get an effective reaction from county staff is top down, because the at staff level is where we found out they weren't helpful.
Yeah. I know, I spent 45 minutes on the phone with that guy Paul Blackburn and got nothing but just lies and BS.
Yeah,
so
that's our game. But anyways, moving on, I did want to mention the phone credentials have been working actually pretty well. We've got through just under 200 credentials have been issued. You know, with over 300 properties, I thought we probably would have gotten more. So it's going to just continue to trickle in. But we put the application on the website, so we can just direct people to the website. So if anybody asks you, how do I get to my phone, go to the application link on the website. It's pretty prominent.
Tell them to go where your document section is, where you have your pool rules document. It's right there now.
It's right next to the pool.
All caps, important pool access.
And that will generate the same response as if I do it or they call or whatever. And it's taking a lot of my time, to be honest.
Yeah.
I spent almost, you know, the better part of 2 hours every day for an entire week on one person. And it's not really the way to do business. So if they can go to the website, fill out the application, and this one individual that you know, I tried to help them, but they just don't understand phones and they don't want to use their phone that way. Like, it's just not comfortable for them. We can, you know, for people who the technology is too hard for them, which I can't imagine, but it's possible, I do recommend a fob be issued to that person.
Well, didn't we buy any?
Yeah,
bought X amount for those circumstances.
Right. So if I the ones that I can't satisfy at some point, we're gonna sign them off as a hardship, in essence, or I'll come up with a better term. Excuse that. But you know, a needs based, you know, exception, and we'll issue the fob. But the big picture is there's a percentage of the community who hasn't applied. So they probably don't use the pool, probably don't care.
They could be homeowners who have their pool built. So
they have their own pool.
There's a lot that are being
They're members of the YMCA. We don't know, but they,
yeah.
For whatever the reason, I thought you'd be a little further, you know, and the numbers would be a little further, but I want to transition away from the day, the hour, you know, all the hours every day working on this to something that happens more spread out. So I guess what I'm saying is the first wave is through. And now
the system is stable now?
It's working fine.
Okay, yep. Because I had to have mine reissued because it didn't work. And I've seen some isolated complaints on Facebook.
There's been a couple. Those are easy. I'm happy to deal with the issues. I'm just saying, like, sending out a mailing and asking everybody to join, that's done. And it went pretty well, I thought.
Any more than that, I mean, if they don't want to apply, that's their problem. You know,
yeah, so if Wendy could sort of help the communication part through the HOA side, that the district website under the right next to the pool rules is the application. Anytime anybody wants one, once they get into that application, it forces the process to be done accordingly. It's worked well. The ones that are not, that are renters that need to go get their landlord, the owner of the property to sign the affidavit. We've only had one or two that were willing to do that, and frankly, that's who the pool who owns the pool, like you guys. And that's who should be using it, are the property owners. Who they rent it to is up to them in their rental agreement and signing that affidavit. So one of the goals of this credentialing was to separate out the the handing off of the key to bring the use of the pool to its what it's designed for, and it, how it's funded. And I think we've accomplished a lot of that, so that's good. And now that it's open and there's really no restrictions on access to the pool anymore, all those were lifted a few weeks ago. You know, we're up and running.
Have people been there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little cool the last, you know, 6 or so weeks.
Well, this weekend you'll have some people.
But it'll warm up a little bit this weekend and spring break and, you know.
Paul, if they call you and you're getting swamped, you know, you can send them my way. I mean, if they need help, I can help them.
Okay, I appreciate that.
All right, I mean, just to alleviate from you having to take 2-3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the 1 or 2, I don't mind, but if that were to become a permanent thing, I wouldn't be able to, you know, keep up with it effectively.
Did we incur some extra landscape costs with Milton?
Extra? We had him do the mulch and the annual.
That's part of his contract, though.
Mulch was extra.
It was?
Yeah.
All right. Did we pay him $2,275 or $3,596?
All right. Are you on the financial tool? I guess we've moved on to financials.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Were you done?
I was definitely done. All right, what did we do with Milton?
Or is that the cumulative total? Doesn't look like
it. It could be. All right, where are you?
I'm on page 1 and page 2 of the check run.
I figured that.
Landscape maintenance, 800, 521, 800, 1475. 225,
31,
212, and 212.
See if I have the invoice, I will let you know. If I don't have the invoice, I'll look it up.
Okay.
If I'd like to. Usually I keep them in here.
Well, wait a second. Oh, wait, I apologize.
It does say mulch.
That's my bad.
Yeah, I think that's all it is the mulch. It's just normal mulch. It's all built into one check.
This must have been our water bill. $1,321.
Yes, that's what it was. That's the water bill.
I just saw the landscape maintenance and went blank. Sorry.
Yeah, red mulch.
It's okay.
We're there. That's all right.
All right, we're good.
Yep. Any other comments or questions on the financials? Have a motion to accept?
I'll accept.
And we'll second for Carlos. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions, comments, supervisor requests?
No, big picture.
Yeah.
We need to take care of this like yesterday.
What is it?
Matter of fact, we mentioned it last month, so.
Have you seen
this? Is it a dead tree?
No, this is the palm.
Iron pipe
right
coming up.
Rebar tree.
The rebar. The palm right behind the pool.
I thought he cut all those off.
Where we might have missed that one. Okay.
That's hanging out.
Yeah, it needs to be snipped.
Were you there today?
Okay. I was there Sunday.
Okay.
If it got cut, great, but.
I thought it was done a long time
ago. I'm just worried about kids. You know?
No, we don't want to.
Developers a lot of times honestly put those in.
Yeah.
You know, we may have missed one, but I know we ripped out a bunch of them. So that's
right behind
the pool.
The door that got broken into. The pool door that we found.
The rear door.
The rear door.
Yep.
Rebar around the tree.
That's easy.
And I can text it to you if you want me to.
Can our janitor cut that? Does he have a way to cut that? Does he have
cutters? I'll see what I can do.
I'm just thinking of the quickest way to get to it.
And
last month I had my own cutters in my car. I'd have done it on my way home, but I took them out. My wife doesn't understand why I had those. Thought I was a cat burglar or something.
What are we doing with the pool fountain? What are we doing with the fountain?
Like what? Besides, we had it repaired. And
yeah, but it's not working.
I don't ever.
He asked what the status with the fountain
is. I don't ever see water coming out of the pumps, so, you know, like the little thing that's supposed
to. Ben might know the latest. You know, I got pictures of all the repairs, and, you know, and I can send him down to supervise it now. You know, like he's willing to do that for you guys. I don't know.
Let's buy him a bottle or something.
I mean, our new pool vendor, you know, normally is that would be easy to. I know he's been really busy with this inspection because he almost of all the pools he shut down, I think 10 of them are his, and he's never heard of any of these item, so he was a little swamped. Do you know what's the status of the fountain?
Yes, so we've done several repairs there, but one of your jets was broken, that got replaced. There's another jet now, and again, this goes back to your developer, where the PVC is, the break is right where the joint, the sleeve meets the wall. So my guy's really good, and he's trying to save you guys money, because I've already told him that we're topped out on expenses right now. So he's basically having a special sleeve just made where he doesn't have to break your cement, your concrete, and he's gonna address that leak. Once that's done, your fountain's gonna be running because all the other issues have been resolved.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just it's a finesse job where he's being very delicate because he doesn't want to have to break your cement.
Whose idea was it to put the extension pipe on the drain on top of the building?
That was mine.
That was a good idea, Paul.
Thank you.
That's a good idea.
Actually, it was mine. I took credit for somebody else's idea. I knew
that was
you
a good idea.
Solved it.
Entrance was great, by the way.
We were painting it, so we couldn't see it.
The paint job's good.
Yeah, the drip thing used to be flush with the wall, so we just moved it out. Little details. I was afraid you were about to tell me it was ugly, but I thought the first time I saw the picture, I was like, that's better, but your eye sees
it's
it.
It's kind of
because I was taking a picture of it. Yeah,
but
it works.
But it works.
But and it goes away once you realize, you know, you're not looking.
Yeah,
at
you
it.
Don't really even see
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so good. Solved. Yeah, we were doing the mulch at the same time, and I said, great, now this is going to run all the water right and blow all the mulch out, but didn't happen.
No.
But the paint job looks good. I mean,
I guess ideally when that water would spill into that little catch basin that's in the front. Mm. But I think the pipe is longer than the basin sticks out.
Yeah, probably.
We haven't had a serious rain.
That's true. If on the drive in, I was like, I could count rocks I've never seen here before around the perimeters. A little scary. But any others? You're monopolizing the questions, by the way. These other guys get to talk too.
Well, then I will be quiet.
I'm kidding, of course. Carlos, you got anything?
Nothing here.
All right. Roy?
Nothing.
Cheryl, anything else?
Well, we talked a few months back about getting possibly a Christmas tree for our neighborhood.
Yes.
And so I didn't know if we can think about it, or you can take a picture
outdoor
of
one,
and then it can come to the meetings and we can see if we like it.
I'll put a line item in the budget.
At Christmas time, we could have a, it doesn't have to be decorating so much, mm-hmm. but it could be homemade ornaments or something, or just those great big ornaments there, and have the kids come around with Santa or something.
Yeah, Ben just mentioned, we talked to the landscaper that we use here that mm-hmm. has a lot more big buying nursery type background, and they have a couple ideas for us, so we'll bring that up the next meeting.
I'll bring you some rings, because we're actually talking about a project like that involves some trees that I think you may be interested in.
Where are you thinking about putting them? Sure.
Someplace around the pool
area. It's big enough.
You know, mm-hmm. so hopefully this coming Christmas.
In our land, we only own so much land.
Gathering
by the pool's the best.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, that it would be something.
Is it a Japanese fern or
Japanese blueberry? And then
Japanese blueberry.
Like, and maybe even a magnolia if they like.
Yeah.
That's what I suggested was the magnolia.
The grand flora.
Nice
yeah.
Have something at Christmas time for the kids maybe to decorate.
I did confirm that the
kids.
The Florida magnolia will work. Like with that one, looks like it grows. It looks like one. It flowers, and there's a variety, a South Florida variety that might check the box. If that one doesn't work, we've been experimenting with one called a Japanese blueberry that literally grows on its own like a Christmas tree. Like you can't even make it not look like a Christmas tree if you wanted to. So. We were going to put them in here, but they didn't like them. They really, they look, because they're just an unusual shape for native Florida, but for a signature look, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, there's a big square outside of Savannah that they have one of these magnolias that they use it for a Christmas tree. Literally, the same exact idea, but they built their entire...
Savannah?
Just outside of Savannah, a little town, I can't remember the name of it. It's famous for having movies filmed in it.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
Savannah's great.
My daughter knows the names of every movie filmed in it, so we went by it to have lunch, and I was like, "That's the tree you want, because you just decorate it every year, you know."
I used to climb the tree when I was growing up, and it was in front of my preacher's house, and we would hang them. Me and my brother climbed. It was really cool.
Okay.
Climb a Christmas tree.
Right, there's a few. I mean, the old Norfolk pines, which are, you can't put in the ground, those were commonly used for that reason.
In the 70s?
And they're horrible. You're not allowed to plant them anymore.
So the other seed I just want to keep alive is, and I know that.
Wait, are she done? Are you done, Cheryl? I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, sir. She yields time back to you.
I know we talked about it before, but I'd also like to entertain some estimates and some ideas to professionally decorate the front entrance and the pool at Christmas.
All right. You guys really know how to go with a budget increase. We'll take care of it.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I think it's yeah, and the electrical will have to be tuned up for there.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, blown out over the top, but it's gotta be better than, I'm sorry, Galena Pelicano. I mean, she does the best she can, but she's gotta live.
It's absolutely the way to do it. This community you're sitting in is known for its holiday decorations. It spends an inordinate amount of money by comparison to what you can afford, what you should spend. You can afford whatever you're willing to assess.
Right.
But in scale, your entrances, your pool cabana could be properly decorated within a reasonable annual budget. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll put it in the draft budget.
Excellent.
And we'll get some prices. There's some good deals. We've learned, my other field manager, Dennis, who's done the longest, oldest CDD in Florida, has kind of perfected how to manage and who to use for holiday decorations. That works. And every other approach is a nightmare. It's like, we've done it so many times, and we found a company called CDI that has they have permanent staff that know what they're doing, and they store the lights for you. Or replace them. They swap them out. They do everything, and they're the same people every year. They're not doing it after hours from their real job, and they're professionals, like you hinted. Yeah. And the value to dollar is the only way to go.
Yeah.
No. So we'll get you some, A, B, C options.
Like a menu. You pick from the menu what you want based on.
Sweet.
All good. Yeah, that's excellent. And I anticipated we would do that, and I'm glad you asked as well.
Okay.
And we can send the bill to Wendy.
That works for me because she isn't doing much.
I'm just teasing her because
I'm kidding.
She's in the chat room only. So, all right. Very good. Anything else? Cheryl's favorite motion. Nope. He didn't have anything to say. We bored him to death. We are adjourned. If there's a second.